At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Murder in the Morning from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't even know how to begin this. The Gilgo Beach serial killer, alleged serial killer, Rex Huerman, has turned his family's life upside down. We've talked a few times in previous podcasts of how do the families deal with it when they are completely innocent? They had no idea this was going on. Well, we've got actually maybe a little glimmer of hope in a story for you today on Murder in the Morning. It's Stacey Cole and Carol Hughes. What a fascinating story we're going to tell.
I think it's really interesting, and you don't always stop to think about how many victims there are in a crime like this. You know, how many people are affected and victimized by the serial killers. So you might not be one of those people he murdered, but there are family members of those people. You know, there's all these other people who have to live with it, including his family.
Exactly. And his wife has come out and talked about how their home, first of all, they might have been hoarders. We don't know, but their home looked like it was not well kept. But when the authorities came in, they turned everything upside down. They ripped apart the bathtub. They destroyed a couch. They, you know, not like they were coming in and partying, but they were ripping things apart, looking for trophies and things like that, that the alleged serial killer may have kept from his victims. So they needed to go through the house. They ripped up the backyard. And then this family, they went back to their home.
Yeah. And then they
leave.
Because
where else did they have to go? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the police leave and you walk in and your house is just literally turned upside down on the inside.
Literally.
You know, literally things are turned upside down.
Absolutely. And one of the things that Tony and I talked about was, is there any sort of a service? There's like a crime scene cleanup service that comes in. Like if somebody commits suicide with a firearm, there are certain hazmat equipped cleaning services that will come in and clean up a crime scene. But what do you do in a case like this when after a 12-day search of a home, things are turned upside down so badly that the family comes back in and now they have to live in that? Is there some sort of a way to help these families? Because it's not their fault that dad might be a serial killer.
And I think the answer to that question is no. I think it's on them, and it's really, really sad because these people are not serial killers. I don't think they had anything to do with it. They were victims as well, and he's lied and manipulated them too.
Yeah.
So it's sad.
It is sad. And a gal by the name of Melissa Moore, you may recognize her name. She is the daughter of convicted murderer Keith Jesperson. That's the smiley face killer, or I'm sorry, the happy face killer. She has started a GoFundMe campaign to support the soon-to-be ex-wife of Rex Huerman and her two adult children, one of which is a special needs adult. Huerman, of course, was arrested last month and charged with the murder of three women in New York. Melissa's fundraising efforts have raised about $23,000.
I'm going to jump in there because I pulled up the GoFundMe and it's up to $29,518.
Yeah,
and 762 donations.
Wow. Well, yeah, you know, the arrest, it shocked the family. They were unaware of the double life that Rex was allegedly living. He is facing first degree and second degree murder concerning the deaths of three women. He is also considered the primary suspect in another victim. There was a press conference a couple days ago where they've revealed another victim. I don't know if they've tied it to him, but we'll find out soon enough. And after a 12-day search of the home by investigators, the home was left in disarray. And so Melissa Moore, she completely gets it. She's aiming to assist the family in starting anew. The funds raised will be delivered to the soon-to-be ex-wife through her divorce law firm. As she filed for divorce from Huerman last month, like a week after he was arrested, she was like, nope, I'm done. Oh. The money is going to be used for needs, restoring their home, covering her divorce costs, and addressing any unmet needs.
Well, and I'm looking at the GoFundMe page and what she wrote, and it says, people may know me as the daughter of the serial killer known as the Happy Face Killer, captured in 1995. My mother and my family were and are victims. We did not know about his double life. And then talking about how she waited to create the GoFundMe, wanted to make sure it would be okay with his wife. And it says, today I have an opportunity to use my voice to help Asa, who isn't in a place to speak about the terror and horror she and her family are experiencing at this moment. While people may assume Asa has the funds to start a new life, the assumption is just that. We don't know the financial and verbal abuse she may have suffered. I would imagine he was very abusive to her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that, but it just makes me think she was, and the kids were probably abused for years by him.
Well, and look at how he views women. I mean, and look at what he's done allegedly to women. If that's how he relates to women, I can't imagine he'd come home and be like, here's my princess. You know, I love this woman. I will treat her as though she's queen of my world. No, that's not how that works.
You know, and you just don't always think about the victims' families. And I get that because we're very focused on the death and these horrific murders that have happened and their loved ones. But these serial killers, because I live in Wichita, Kansas, which everybody knows is where BTK is from. He's actually from a little town, a suburb of Wichita, Park City. And it was really horrible because, you know, BTK was kind of a legend. You know, he went a really long time before being captured. These murders occurred decades before he was actually captured. So his family had no idea. And they went to the same church as one of my best friends. And so BTK was on the church council, and my friend's husband was on the church council, and it wasn't a big church. And they were close. They were all really close. She knew him really well. Well, thought she did. So when that happened, his wife and family had zero idea. And they ended up, she couldn't go to work anymore. You know, he's a compliance officer in that little town. He's not, you know, it's not like they have a bunch of money in the bank, I'm sure. She can't go to work. You know, the kids can't go out in public.
Mm-mm.
And because, like, in our town, and I'm sure the case here, there was just this national and international media just descended upon the town, and they were trying to talk to anybody who knew him. So, of course, his family was just harassed, and they had to completely relocate and start over with their lives. I don't know how you do that.
Well, and it's not a consequence of anything that they've done. The only thing that they've done is had the same DNA. Mm-hmm. They're in the same family. You know, these are innocent people who are victims of a crime. They are crime victims. They may not be dead, but their lives are certainly dead and changed forever.
And, you know, I remember the story that my friend told me, because the night before they arrested BTK, it was pretty dramatic fashion. All the cops descended upon the town, and they kind of cornered him in his car. And so the night before that happened at the church, they had a spaghetti dinner.
Yeah.
And So he was sitting at the table with my friend and her family, and one of the kids was pretty little at the time, one of her daughters. They were kind of packed in, and so she went to go get a dessert, and he's like, hey, could you get me a dessert? And so she's like, yeah. So she brings back the dessert. Well, the next day he's arrested, and in her brain, you know, she's like, I'm thinking she was in the 5-6 year old range. You know, of course, I try to explain this to her, what's happened, because of course their church, I don't even know that they could go to church, you know, normally. So her little daughter was so upset because in her head, he was this horrible monster and she'd gotten him dessert. And she was like, but I got him dessert. Like somehow in her head, she was being kind to him, which enabled him or something. And I'm like, you know, you just think about how many people it affects. You know, some of these people do it like the Unabomber. They're kind of out there all on their own. But there's other people living these active lives, double lives. And their family members are victims too.
Absolutely. And I don't know how they continue on with their lives. I don't know. You know, financially, things are upended. They can't go anywhere in public without people staring at them, reporters coming at them. Their lives are completely upside down. And it's almost as though they have to take on a new identity and start over somewhere else and hope people don't recognize them.
Yep. That's all. It just makes me sad. So I think that in this case, that's, you know, people might go, yeah. But what about the murder victims? Totally get that. I think you can support both. It's not like you have to pick one or the other.
Yeah. And I think it speaks to hopefully kindness because, you know, there's no way that these people could have known what was going on. And now their lives are upside down. So typically, you know, in communities where there's a tornado that comes through and people donate and try to lift people back up, they've had a tornado come through their lives. It's just in a different form.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.